either way. Worst case, we'll have two of them. So we have three sections to Shmona Esrei: the Shevach, praise; Bakasha, the request; and then the thank you. So during Shabbos and Yantov, we don't make requests or physical things usually. So we only have seven. We mentioned Kedusha Sayom on Shabbos and Yantov. So in fact, there's a discussion on Rosh Hashanah, how many we have. And the Musaf Rosh Hashanah, because we have three things. We have the Zechronos, Malchus, and Shofros. So there's a discussion whether you make them into all one or three. You know, so we have the Musaf in Rosh Hashanah. That's the longest Shmona Esrei of the year. In terms of, for some people, instead of taking 30 seconds, it might take 45. For others, instead of 5 minutes, it might take 25 minutes. So whatever you could play in the number, whatever it applies. So let's say you're davening Musaf Rosh Hashanah, and even though we reject the Yerushalmi, but we do accept it partially, because if you look at your Magzor on Rosh Hashanah, it says, when Rosh Hashanah falls out during the week, insert the words Yom Chua. And when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, insert the word Zichron Chua. That's what we do. So what happens, it's either, let's say this year, so it's during the week. So let's say instead of saying Yom Chua, you insert the word Zichron Chua. So if you remember right away, no big deal. You finish davening, and then after you finish your 25-minute Shmona Esrei, you realize, I said Zichron Chua instead of Yom Chua. Do I have to repeat Shmona Esrei? So it depends. According to Yerushalmi, yeah, you're davening the wrong Shmona Esrei, because according to Yerushalmi, Zichron Chua relates to Shabbos, Yom Chua relates during the week. We know that luck is you change the Nusach HaTfilah, so you have to daven over again. However, according to the Bavli, even though it's true, Lechatchila, those Yom Chua relates more to during the week, but they really both apply equally to both days. So therefore, we paskin, you're in luck, you don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei. That's one very practical difference to Yerushalmi versus Bavli. If I switch the words Zichron Chua and Yom Chua, so you should still strive for the right words, but be the evid if you mess up, so less pressure on you, you'll be able to have more kavana now during Musaf. Another practical difference. This is more practical for Sfardim than it is Ashkenaz, as you'll see in a second why. But there's a halacha of Shechiyanu. We make a Shechiyanu on Shofar. As a general rule, we make on any mitzvah we do, which is She'eino Tadir, which is not continuous, and it comes Mizman Lizman. You know, so on matzah we make all the mitzvahs that come during seasonal, like Baskin Robbins has seasonal flavors and classics. So too, we have classics and we have seasonal. So seasonal is you make the Shechiyanu on because it's new and you have the freshness, it's a type of simcha. So we make a Shechiyanu on Shofar. But Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, even in Israel. You get a rare 3-day yantif in Israel. At least they only have Rosh Hashanah. The other two they won't. But even Israel gets the 3-day, 2 days Rosh Hashanah going into Shabbos this year. So you make a Shechiyanu. Do we make one Shechiyanu? Is that enough? Do we make two Shechiyanus? How many Shechiyanus do we make on Rosh Hashanah for the shofar? It's actually a similar, whether it's the same issue or not, it's another question, but we have the same machlokas, Svarim Ashkenaz, by Megillah on Purim. We only read the Megillah. Purim's only 1 day. That's true, but we read the Megillah twice. So whether you say two Shechiyanos, so the Minhag Svard, again, among Svardim, you always have different Minhagim. Because every time I say Minhag Svard, I have some Svardi come over to me and tell me they have a different Minhag. So now I just cover myself. But the classic Minhag Svard is to only make one bracha. They make a bracha also only on the night of the Purim, and also, but to our purposes here, they only make a shachiyon on the first day. It goes on both days. Ashkenaz, we make both days. So that's the fact. Now I'll give you the nafkamina. So this wasn't even a hypothetical. This happened, I don't know, about 150 years ago or so in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. You know, a big Talmud Chacham, I forget his name, you know, the Mikrai Kodesh of Rav Pesach Frank brings it down in the Sefer. It gets into how you learn the Gemara we were discussing in the B'miktosh Hayu Token, in the Beis HaMikdosh, they used to blow show for Iran on Shabbos. Number one, we said, according to the Rambam, the Mikdash means the old city. So either maybe he was working with the Rambam's opinion, he felt on Shabbos, he was in Yerushalayim, in the old city, he felt you have to blow shofar. Or it depends how you learn the Gemara there, because when they moved to Yavne, the Beis HaGadol met in the Lishkas HaGazes, in the Beis HaMikdash. But then after it dispersed, so they moved to Yavne. So it's a question over there, was it a din in Beis Din, a din? So there's a rift opinion that we don't paskin like, but there's some who do, obviously, that according to the Rif, if you have in front of a makam based in even on Shabbos, so whatever his rationale was, he had a lachak basis, not the accepted opinion, but he had basis for it. And he went ahead, and everyone knew in this shul they were going to blow shofar on Shabbos. So the shaila they asked, or Svi Pesach Frank and others, or maybe he's just relaying me, I don't know if he was around at that time or not, but he writes about it, is, should I try to go to shul for Shabbos? Should we try to go to, because in my shul they're not going to be blowing shofar. So should I try to go and hear the shofar in this? Because there's no problem in hearing the shofar. The problem would be blowing the shofar. I'm not doing any. If I get a mitzvah, I get a mitzvah. If not, I got nothing. So there's no harm. Should I try to go? Is there any gain by me? There's certainly no harm. But is there any gain by me going ahead and I'm listening? So that was the question. So this person did it, and that was the question. So what is the issue dependent on? Before I get into what happened, what is the issue dependent on? So this touches on a fundamental issue, because we just pointed out, we said that why don't we blow shofar on Shabbos outside the Beis HaMikdash? So what did we say? Why don't we blow shofar? Biblically, we should. Why don't we? Because the rabbi said not to. So let me ask you something. God tells me to do something, the rabbis tell me not to. Who do I listen to? I listen to God, or I guess it depends which rabbis also, but who do I listen to? So obviously I'd listen to God, but the problem is God told me to listen to the rabbis. That's the pasuk in Parsha, or maybe it's not a problem, that's the reality. In Parsha Shoftim, it says, the pasuk goes, Sasa min adavar asha yagidu ucha yaminu smo. It says, don't turn away from the rabbis. The context is the Zakein Mamre. See, there is an advantage of not knowing anything. I'll explain what I mean in a second. There's a concept of a Zakein Mamre, Zakein Elder, Mamre, rebellious. In Hilchas Ma. So the case is, someone who paskins against the Beis Din HaGadol, he's put to death. It's interesting, Ramban on it, that these are a couple of examples in the Torah where you're not actually punished for an onus you did. Normally in Judaism, you're punished for something you did, an act you did. There are a couple of exceptions where it's not the act, but it's hitting the fundamentals. So if you're going to break up the whole, if you're going to undermine the whole Beis Din HaGadol, so that's, or Ben Sora Mora is another, a couple of examples the Ramban gives, a separate chair. Or maybe it's already on Kosher Tube somewhere, I don't remember. But either way, so they point out that Zakein Mamre is put to death for rebelling against. So who is it? So who is the Zakein? So if someone, so, you know, we live in a society of talk radio. So what I mean is talk radio, you know, you call in, well, the talker says, you know, and which by most of the time the host usually doesn't know any more than you, but you talk and he says his opinion, you call in, and everyone goes and gives their opinion. So everyone's entitled to give an opinion, but not all opinions are equal. In other words, like, everyone understands that when it comes to, let's say, Shakespeare or Hamlet or something, you know, if you don't have a PhD, like, are you kidding me? Like, they'll laugh at you when you say, but when it comes to the Bible, you know, everyone thinks they know it better than everyone else. Everyone, it's okay to have an opinion, but realize not all opinions are equal. So obviously, someone who studied the, you know, the Gemara Chumash for 25 years versus someone who just like during Kriyas HaTorah looked over the pasuk for about 10 seconds and they think they know what it means better than someone else. So, but the point being here, making is, if someone just gets up and says, well, basically, they don't know what they're talking about, and this guy's an Am Haaretz, he doesn't know anything. They don't. He's not put to death. They just laugh at him and they move on. But if someone's a big Talmud Chacham and he's Higia Lahora and he passed, then they put him to death. So you have to earn an opinion, you know, in terms of that sense. You don't just, you know, and of course everyone has a right. You should ask questions. You have opinions. You have to know, you know, not all the opinions are equal. So either way, so what happened was is, so it says, so I don't know if you ever, anyone read the book, The Cain Mutiny. It's a classic, not a seasonal. No one read it, okay? Haven't either, by the way. But the Cain Mutiny was written by who? I was thinking to myself who wrote it. If you didn't read it, you probably don't know who wrote it. But I'm thinking of his name. I can't think of it now. But what happened was he taught at Yeshiva University for a short time period. So he was explaining, let me tell you what the Cain Mutiny is about. Again, I didn't read it either. What it's about is Cain is apparently the name of the ship. Mutiny is what happened on the ship. And basically, chaos broke up on the ship. I think the captain was whacked out and he was giving orders. So I guess their issues were, but the captain has complete control. I guess like a pilot on a plane. So do I listen to a wacko captain or not? I guess was the issue. So he wrote the Cain Mutiny. So he said, you know where he got it from? He got it from Rashi and Chumash, he claims. What does it mean, Rashi and Chumash? Because this pasuk. The pasuk says, don't turn away from the rabbis. Right. What does that mean, right or left? So Rashi quotes the Sifri, even if the rabbis tell you left is right and right is left, you have to listen. And certainly if they tell you left is left and right is right. But even if they left, so Rashi quotes the Sifri. So he says, look, they're like the wacko captain. Even if they're wrong, you got to listen to them. That's how he interpreted Rashi there, the Sifri. And that's what so one of the students said to him, I don't want to insult you, or you might have to change the name of your book, but that's really not the pshat in Rashi. You clearly haven't learned the Ramban, who asked that kasha in Rashi, and it's a Mishnah in Hari, that it's clear that if Beis Din made a mistake, we don't follow mistakes. We don't go, there's no precedent on mistakes. If you make a mistake, and that's why it talks about the Beis, if you make a mistake, you got to bring a karban, the Kohen Gadol, the Beis Din. So that's the rule. If you make a mistake, you correct the mistake. We don't go mistakes. It's because someone says it. And what the Sifri is saying is if it appears to you like it's a mistake, like you don't know anything, is if you think the rabbis, I mean, then you should follow them. But if you're a Talmud Chacham and you see they made a mistake, again, not if it's a Beis Din Gadol, that's a different issue. Once you could tell them not as Petorah's Psak, but to tell them, but today is not an issue. We don't have Beis Din Gadol, so then obviously you wouldn't follow it. So that's the Ramban writes. That's not the Pshat. So that's not the Pshat in Rashi. So he never changed the name of his book, by the way. But either way, so Rav Chanan Wasserman says as follows. This is the Pshat. We know we have a Gemara. We have a Gemara in Yevamos which says, Yesh koach biyad chachamim la'akor dvar Torah b'shevi al-tasa. There's power among, how much power do these rabbis have? So one of the limitations is they only can tell you not to do something. They can tell you not to perform the mitzvah today, not to blow shofar, not to shake lulav. But if you're having a Mac attack, they can't tell you to go to McDonald's and have a Big Mac. They don't have to, that's actively violating what the Torah is saying. They can't tell you to do that. So he says like this, that's what the pasuk means. What does the Sifri mean when they're telling you left is right and right is left? This is it. The Torah says, blow shofar today, yom truah. The rabbis say, no shofar. So there's right telling you left is, and who do we listen to? That's what the pasuk's telling me. We'll toss them in a dover, we follow the rabbis. So the rabbis, again, even within that power, they have limited power. But that's what Rav Chanan says, that's what the pasuk is referring to. And in fact, that's the question. how much power do the Chachamim have when they say they can uproot a mitzvah? So what does that mean? So let's take shofar on Shabbos. So the rabbis, so biblically speaking, there's a mitzvah to blow shofar on Shabbos. The rabbis say no. So what does that mean? Does that mean the mitzvah of shofar no longer exists at all? Do they have that much power? No, they don't have that much power. They tell me I don't have a mitzvah anymore. But the mitzvah of shofar still exists. They can't, they don't, so that's a discussion among the Rishonim and the different examples. How far does it go? Let's say by the first Mishnah in Brachas, there's an example Rabbi Yonah gives, that the rabbi, the really you could say Shema, which by the way you have to repeat later, Kriya Shema, because Shkia was about 7:55 today, so you could have a Mayrav after sunset, but you wait too later to say Shema. So the Mishnah says you could say Shema until dawn, Alos HaShachar. But the Chachamim said you should say it until, by midnight, in order to so you don't forget and miss it. So Rabbi Yonah discusses over there in the first stop in Brachas, what, now that the rabbi said you should do it at Chatzos, so he discusses, does that mean now that's it? Someone who does it after, clearly if you do it after Chatzos, you violated the rabbinical prohibition. But does that mean the person doesn't get the mitzvah at all anymore? To come once they uprooted the mitzvah completely? No. They still get the mitzvah, but they didn't do it prior. So there's many examples. So that's the question here. When the rabbi said no shofar, what did they do? So that's what Rabbi Akiva Eger raises, and that's the question here. So this rabbi who is blowing shofar on Shabbat. So according to the Yerushalmi, there's nothing to talk about. There's no mitzvah. Zichron Trua, it's like blowing shofar this Shabbos. It's a meaningless activity. Don't try to go to the show and listen to it. It's a waste of time. Zichron Trua, according to Yerushalmi, there is no mitzvah. But according to the Bavli, who says really there is a mitzvah, and the rabbi said not to, so that depends on this machlokas Rishonim and Achronim. When the rabbi say no shofar, does it mean the mitzvah shofar no longer exists, which would be a big chiddush, or do we say probably simply, more pashtus, that they can't uproot the mitzvah, they can just tell me not to do it. The Sikh Professor Frank wants to say it depends, which is a separate, it may be different mitzvahs, some were uprooted completely, some weren't, as the Minchas Chinuch talks about, sometimes the mitzvah drabanan is supplementing the mitzvah min haTorah, like making kiddush over wine. Biblically it's with words, and other times, sometimes it's coming to supplement, other times it's coming, so we have to analyze each mitzvah. But that's the question here. So that would be a nafkamina. According to Yerushalmi, don't waste your time. Unless, of course, you learn it's in the mikdash, and then the Yerushalmi would... But here we're talking about, you know, if you did it in Yerushalayim, then you could talk about it. But according to the Bavli, it would depend on this issue or not. So getting back, so practically speaking, it's not Shabbos this year, or Hamilton, it wouldn't work. But the question is like this. Let's say what happens. It's Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, first day, and they forget it Shabbos, or they forget that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, and they went ahead and they made a shachiyon, and they blew 100 blasts, or they remembered after 30, whatever the case is, let's assume 100, they got the whole works in. And then someone comes afterwards, it's Shabbos today, oh yeah, we shouldn't have blown shofar. Okay, it's over. What are you going to do now? So for us Ashkenazim, we'll make a difference. We're going to make a Shechiyano tomorrow anyway. The Shaila is, according to the Sfardim, would they make a another Shechiyano on that Sunday? So according to the Yerushalmi, you know, if you assume there's no mitzvah at all, then they didn't do anything, so therefore they have to make a new Shechiyano. But according to the Bavli, it would depend on this question on whether the rabbis could uproot the mitzvah completely, or they only could tell you personally not to do it, but the mitzvah exists. So those are a couple of nafkaminas. One is if you miss up Zichron Trua and Yom Trua, whether someone blows shofar on Shabbos, is there any kiyum should I try to get to listen to it? And thirdly, if you're among Svardim, should you make another Shechiyano? So what we'll have to answer still is, according to the Bavli, we'll have to, we continue this another time. Rav Salvezhi got a 6-hour shiur on what I'm about to say. So we might have to continue this another time. Maybe I could do it in a little less time. I could try to get it down to 5, I think. 5 minutes, that is. No. So it goes like this. So let's summarize, and then we'll continue next time. But basically, the machlokes Yerushalmi and Bavli, whether everyone agrees to the facts. In the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, they blow shofar. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, no shofar. Why not? So according to the Yerushalmi, there's no mitzvah, Zichron Truah, on Shabbos. The two psukim, one Yom Truah is during the week, Zichron Truah is for Shabbos. So if there's no mitzvah on Shabbos, why blow in the Beis HaMikdash? A special drasha in the place of the Beis HaMikdash and the Karbanos, it's always Yom Truah. And according to the Bavli, we should always blow shofar anywhere, even here. Why don't we? Because the rabbi said not to, based on and the whole discussion with the power of the Chachamim. So why don't we then blow shofar in the, why don't we say Gzeira the Rab in the Beis HaMikdash? So then we don't make rabbinical injunctions in the Beis HaMikdash. So we said, bottom line, if everything is the same, so my nafkamina. So we said, the nafkamina is whether you mistake Yom Truah, Zichron Truah, could they uproot the mitzvah completely? And Svarim Shechiyana. What we'll have to continue next time is, which the Bavli doesn't answer, Bishlom, according to Yerushalmi, I understand why I have two psukim. Yom Truah is during the week, Zichron Truah is on Shabbos. But according to the Bavli, and the Bavli doesn't answer it, why do we need two psukim? Why do we need Yom Truah and Zichron Truah, according to the Bavli? So that's what we'll have to answer next time. The whole separate share on the two, as well as the Rav has a long discussion on it, that is what he's going to explain. It's going to be referring to the two different aspects of the mitzvah of shofar. Not the two different days, but it's going to be two aspects of shofar, a Yom Truah and Zichron Truah, and we'll continue on that. Any questions, comments, or alternative speech?